Well, good morning, everybody. It's now 10 o'clock, so if you could take your seats, please. Yeah, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion here at All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green on Sunday, 26th of September, 2021. If you're visiting today, you're especially welcome. And we look forward to getting to know you better over refreshments at the end of the service. We say welcome to anybody joining on the live stream and pray that you'll feel part of our worship together this morning. My name's Alistair Gross and I'm a member of the church here and have the privilege of leading the service this morning. Today Francis will be continuing his series of sermons on the message of the cross, and this week we'll be thinking about atonement. First of all, shall we quieten our hearts and commit our service to the Lord with a prayer? Let us pray. Faithful Father, we begin our service today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever. It never fails. Though there are many ways in which we have our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the message of the cross, may we be transformed into your likeness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first song this morning is one of worship, humbling ourselves before God and acknowledging his great sacrifice for each one of us. Light of the world. Please be seated. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. We thank you, O Lord, for your ultimate sacrifice, taking the sin of the world, our sin, upon that we may be cleansed and become righteous in your sight. We worship and adore you. Amen. On page 2 of the service sheet and from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23 verse 37, Jesus' summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And together we say, Lord, have mercy upon us and write these laws in our hearts. So we now say together the Collect Prayer as printed on page 2 of the service sheet. Together we say, Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
May I add my welcome to Alistair, super to see you here, and a particular welcome if you're joining us for the first time or are new to our church family. It's super to see you. We have a welcome card that looks like this. They're available on the table by the entrance. If you'd like to get connected in to our church community, do please fill one in. Apologies for the first song there of the service. I believe the whole system crashed, but I think it looks like we're back on track now. Oh, I'm not there. Well, technical details. In a few moments, the children and young people will leave for the All Saints Club in the John Owen Barn. We've got two groups running today, one for 4 to 11-year-olds and one for 11 to 16s. At the end of the service, during tea and coffee, the 4 to 11s will be brought back to the church by their leaders, and that'll be about 11:30-ish. And then the older group are invited to stay in the barn to play table football and table tennis, or they can also come back to the church on their own if they'd like to. Alistair is going to pray for the club in a moment, after which children and young people should head to the church entrance where their leaders will meet them to take them over. Let's pray.
Yes, before the leaders, let us pray for them. Jesus said, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Lord, we pray for our young people as they seek to learn more about you this morning, and that each one will come to know you as their personal saviour. We thank you for those who teach them. May you bless their time together. Amen.
Amen.
And as the young people go off to their own classes, perhaps you might be able to say hello to someone sitting nearby.
Hello, someone sitting nearby.
Hello, Dennis. How are you today?
Reading this morning comes from Leviticus chapter 16. It's page 118 in the Church Bibles. Leviticus 16, starting at verse 1. Day of Atonement. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood, and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and take its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them, in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his community, and atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it all on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron is finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all his sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in a holy place and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man who releases the goat as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull and the goat for the sin offerings, whose blood was brought into the most holy place to make atonement, must be taken outside the camp. Their hides, flesh, and offal are to be burned up. The man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the people of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites, and it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you very much, John, for that. Shall we now stand and declare our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed? The words are on page 2 of the service sheet or on the screen. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Would please be seated. And Keith Hodges will now bring us our New Testament reading, after which Francis will bring God's word to us.
Our New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The message of the cross, atonement, Leviticus chapter 16 and Romans chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak, that you're not silent, and you teach us and show us how you want us to live. We ask now for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we may understand your word and be able to respond and live for you. Amen. So welcome to the fourth installment in our autumn teaching series. It's good to see you here. The cross is the central symbol of the Christian faith. Here it is on the Lord's table behind me. But many today do not know what the cross means. And our aim in this series through these weeks is to unpack the riches of what the Bible teaches on the cross of Jesus. Today we look at the word atonement. What does it mean to say that Jesus atoned for our sins when he died on the cross? Atonement is one of those Bible words which you hear now and again, but many would struggle to explain its meaning. And in this talk, we're going to examine verses from both of those Bible passages that we've just heard read to help us understand. I've got three headings to guide us through. The first one is just a quite brief statement, and then points two and three are questions, and they'll be a bit longer. So firstly, Jesus' death on the cross was a sacrifice of atonement. Julian, there's a slight ring on the mic, if you could just take that off. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. God presented him, that is Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement. So the first thing we need to be clear on is that in the New Testament, Jesus is clearly described as a sacrifice of atonement. This means that if we're to understand who Jesus is and what his life meant, we must understand what a sacrifice of atonement is and what its purpose is. Whatever it is, Jesus was one. To put it the other way around, if you don't understand about atonement, then you can't fully understand the message of the cross. Let me read the full verse to you. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. This verse shows us that Christian faith and atonement are closely linked. If we're to understand what the Bible means by faith, we must understand what an atoning sacrifice is. And to do this, we're going to start by spending some time thinking about that Old Testament reading that John read for us, Leviticus chapter 16. It's on page 118 in the church Bibles. You can find one just underneath your seat. I do encourage you to have that open. We'll look at some of the details. So we'll look at Leviticus first, and then we'll move to Romans in the New Testament. Leviticus is the third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book in the Jewish Torah. So here's our question. What does the Old Testament Day of Atonement teach us? What does the Old Testament Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, teach us? Now, Leviticus 16 is serious business. Let me position it in the Bible storyline for you. God has redeemed the Israelites through ransom from their slavery in Egypt. He's brought them out of Egypt. He gives them the Ten Commandments, and he gives them instructions to build a tabernacle. Now, a tabernacle was a mobile temple that could be set up and dismantled. So the priests would set it up when they made camp. Then when it was time to move, they'd take it all apart, carry it, reassemble it in the next location. Now Aaron, the Moses' brother, and Aaron's sons have been ordained as priests to offer sacrifices in the tabernacle. God then establishes the Day of Atonement. And today the Jewish community call it Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement was a process to prevent Israelite people from dying in God's holy presence. Verse 1 explains the trigger for the creation of the Day of Atonement. Moses' two nephews, Nadab and Abihu, had been struck down dead by God. Chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. So as I said, this is serious business. The problems laid out in Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu served regularly in God's tabernacle, and they decided to go in and offer unauthorized fire before the Lord. Chapter 10, verse 2 is on the screen. So they went into the most holy place, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. So God says to Moses in chapter 16, verse 2, tell your brother Aaron not to come into the most holy place whenever he chooses. Don't come in behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in a cloud over the atonement cover. God was present above the Ark of the Covenant in a special way, and to go behind the curtain was to enter the direct manifest presence of God. Aaron is told he can't just go in whenever he likes. If he does, he will die like his sons. And this shows us the function of the tabernacle, and particularly the function of the holy place in the middle behind the curtain. It was a means of protection to enable God to dwell in the midst of his people, the Israelites, while protecting them from his full presence. The tabernacle says, God is in your midst. He's among you. You are his chosen people. You're special to him. But don't come too close. And the curtain is like a no-entry sign. It's a device to keep the Israelites safe. The basic problem is that God is holy in a way that it's almost impossible for us to grasp. God's glory is much weightier and more wonderful than anything in the creation that he's made. So anything else that we can experience in his world is different to God. His glory is purer than we can imagine. And your reaction may well be, how could God possibly strike down Nadab and Abihu for performing a ritual in the wrong way? Singer-songwriter Jill Sobule expresses this view in the lyrics of her song, Heroes. She sings, the Old Testament God can seem so petty. But until we understand this as a legitimate action by God, we won't fully know the God of the Bible or understand the message of the cross. God is holy and righteous in a way that we really struggle to get hold of. We might say that it's deeply unfashionable in our current generation. I wonder if you've ever tried to mix oil and water together. If you have, you'll know it's not possible. You can stir it up, but then they just separate back into the two substances. And this is the situation with God's holiness and human sin. They just don't mix together. God in his holiness won't accept our sinful behavior. He won't adapt to it or accommodate it. So the Day of Atonement was a ritual to protect the Israelites from the wrathful, fiery judgment of God. And at the core of the atonement was the sacrifice of animals to prevent the death of sinful people. Chapter 16, verse 16, explains what the Day of Atonement achieved. In this way, he, that's Aaron, will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. So atonement is about putting things right and restoring relationship, specifically here between God and his people. Three problems are named: uncleanness, rebellion against God, and sin. That is doing things that miss the mark of God's instructions, breaking his laws. These three things ignited God's judgment against the Israelites. But the sacrifices on the Day of Atonement provided cleansing and turned aside God's wrath. Two other words are relevant at this point. Here they are on the screen. And let me explain them briefly, but if this all gets a bit much with these shun words, don't worry too much if you don't grasp it. The sacrifices on the Day of Atonement expiated the sins of the Israelite community. And by so doing, they propitiated God's righteous judgment against sin. So expiation means that the sacrifices got rid of the people's sins. They were taken away. Propitiation means that the sacrifices bear God's wrath against the sins. And in so doing, God's judgment is propitiated. We'll have a little bit more on those two words later on. Let's consider a few of the details in the chapter. So on the Day of Atonement, Aaron, the high priest, needed three animals, a bull and two rams, that is, two male goats. The bull is a sin offering for Aaron to make atonement for himself and his own family, verse 6. Then he presents the two goats before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He casts lots. One goat is chosen for the Lord and is sacrificed as a sin offering, and the other is appointed to be a scapegoat. Some of the bull's blood is sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant 7 times in front of the atonement cover, and the same is done with the goat's blood. Then Aaron comes out of the holy place to the altar and makes atonement for it by putting some of the bull's blood and the goat's blood on the horns of the altar. Aaron then takes the live goat and he lays both his hands on the head of the animal and confesses over the animal all the wickedness, rebellion, and sins of the Israelites. The sins are put onto the goat, and then the animal is sent away into the desert, carrying all the sins of the people out into a solitary place. After this, Aaron takes off his special clothing, has a bath, puts his regular clothes back on. Finally, he sacrifices the bull and ram on the altar outside the tent of meeting. And verse 29 tells us that all this was a lasting directive to be carried out each year on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Israelite calendar. The Israelites were to fast from food on their Day of Atonement, not to do any work. It was a Sabbath when they would be cleansed from their sin. This ritual was still happening each year during Jesus' life. And it continued in the Jerusalem temple until AD 70, when the Romans besieged the city and destroyed the temple. Sacrifices haven't been offered on the Day of Atonement since AD 70, so nearly 2,000 years, because there's no temple to offer them in. In spite of having no temple and no actual sacrifices, Jewish people still remember the Day of Atonement today. As I said, it's called Yom Kippur, and this year it took place just a few days ago on the 15th and 16th of December. Sorry, of September. So wrapping up our study of Leviticus 16, what does the Israelite Day of Atonement teach us? Well, it says that sin really matters. Sin's a real problem. Breaking God's laws, our uncleanness and rebellion against God's holiness really matter. These aren't light and unimportant things. It may not be fashionable to think about this stuff in our culture at the moment, but we see from the Bible that it's deeply important. The Day of Atonement says that if you want to live before the Holy God, then you should take your sin very seriously. the shrugging of one's shoulders will not do. Equally, avoiding the topic because it feels a bit weird and perhaps creepy, well, also that won't do either. God says to us these things are important. The Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, tells us that God is not like us. He's different to us. He's like the oil and we are like the water. And sin was such a problem that animals died as atoning sacrifices each year so that the tabernacle and the Israelite community could be cleansed from their sin. Well, let's turn now to the message of the cross. And if you can fast forward in your Bible to Romans chapter 3, that's on page 1131 in the church Bibles. And as we look at this, try to keep the Day of Atonement and all the details we've just covered in your mind. So thirdly, why do we need a sacrifice of atonement? Why do we need a sacrifice of atonement? That's our question. We're going to look at our problem and look at God's solution. The problem in Leviticus 16 was the sin, rebellion, and uncleanness of the Israelite community. The problem is the same for us today. It's stated in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Our problem, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here, all means both Jewish people and Gentile people. So Jewish people, the descendants of the Israelites on the Day of Atonement, and Gentile people were like most of us here today. All have sinned. All people have sinned and therefore fall short of God's glory. Now that's an interesting expression, isn't it? God's glory describes the total wonder of who he is, his magnificence, his righteousness, and his holiness. As humans, we're made in his image, the image of God, and we're meant to be righteous like God in the way that we live and behave. But all have sinned and therefore come short of God's glory. On a continual basis, we do not live up to the measure of God's glory. And this is the problem. And the book of Romans tells us that the same wrath of God that fell on Nadab and Abihu awaits us. God's character, seen in Leviticus 16, has not changed. Indeed, God's wrath is spoken of 8 times in the book of Romans. Here on the screen, Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Here Paul refers to a coming day of judgment. The character of God didn't change when Jesus came. The Old Testament God of Leviticus 16 and the New Testament God are the same God. You and I and every person in Great Britain still faces the same problem that the Israelites did. It's just postponed until the coming day of judgment. God's totally pure and rightly will judge our sins. And this is why we need a sacrifice of atonement, to put our relationship with God right, to restore the relationship. The character of God remains unchanged. The character of God remains unchanged. But with the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ, there is a new solution to the problem. God's solution: put your faith in Jesus' blood. The solution is that Jesus' death on the cross was a sacrifice of atonement. And God wants each one of us to put our faith in Jesus' blood, that is, in the sacrifice that happened. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God has made a way for our sinfulness to be dealt with, and no longer is animal sacrifice required. Instead, verse 25, God presented Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Do you see the link with the two goats of the Day of Atonement? The sin offering and the scapegoat sent out into the desert. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled the function of both of those goats before God. Humanly speaking, Jesus' death on the cross was a miscarriage of justice. An innocent man was killed. But in this event, God was doing something amazing. Jesus' death and the shedding of his blood on the cross cleanses us from our sins. That's expiation. It expiates our sin, gets rid of our moral guilt before God, carries it away like the scapegoat. And on the cross, Jesus, God's Son, bore the wrath of God the Father's judgment that your sin and my sin deserved. That's propitiation, like the goat sacrificed on the altar as a sin offering. The message of the cross is that when Jesus suffered and died, he expiated our sins and he propitiated God's wrath on our behalf. In Leviticus 16, the high priest made atonement for the whole Israelite community once a year. But now, in presenting Jesus Christ as a sacrifice, God has made a single one-off atonement for people of all nationalities across the centuries. So the atonement expands from Israel to all the nations, and it's come to us here in the UK. One atonement sufficient for all people throughout history and in our generation. The message of the cross is that God has made a way to deal with the oil and water problem of his holiness and our sinfulness. He solved the problem by giving the most valuable thing that he could. He made atonement with his one and only Son. And this links us back to last Sunday's sermon and the focus on how precious the blood of Christ is. God gave himself to deal with the problem. God atones for our sins himself. It's not a third party who does it. Because of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son dealt with the problem. He provided the solution. So what should we do? The answer is in verses 22 to 25 of Romans chapter 3. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So we should believe in Jesus and put our trust in him. There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. To receive the benefit of Jesus' atonement, we must put our faith specifically in his blood. That is, in his death. His death was the saving event from God, the doorway to salvation from God's wrath. So what should we do? Believe in Jesus. Put your faith in his blood shed on the cross. This is what being a person of faith means in the Bible. The gospel tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the Jerusalem temple was torn in two from top to bottom So there was a curtain in the tabernacle, and when it became a permanent stone temple, there was also a curtain in the middle of it. On the cross, Jesus made atonement, and the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Entry to God's presence is now available to all, whatever your nationality, wherever you are in the world. But it doesn't come automatically. We must put our faith in Jesus' blood. We must believe in Jesus. In verse 24, we see last week's word, redemption. The redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That is the buying of our freedom. When we put redemption and atonement together, we get a fuller description of the message of the cross. Jesus redeemed us from our sin by being a sacrifice of atonement. He frees us from the barrier between God and us by his work of atonement. So as I come to finish, the big question is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your atoning sacrifice? Do you believe in him? Not just that he existed, but believe in him as the one who bore God's wrath and died in your place. The character of God remains firmly set against sin. God hasn't changed his attitude to sin. Rather, he's provided the ultimate means for your sins to be cleansed. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would still need to offer animal sacrifices. And this is why Jesus is so important and precious. Will you accept what God has provided for you? If you don't put your faith in Jesus, there isn't an alternative way for your sins to be removed. And as Romans 2:5 says, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. So the solution is, put your faith in Jesus' blood. This is the message of the cross. In a few minutes' time, we'll come to the Lord's table to remember Jesus' great and wonderful atonement. As I give you the bread, I will say to you, take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. These are the words of the Anglican Communion service. So as you eat the bread, it's a moment for you to put your trust in his death once again, his death 2,000 years ago. As you eat the bread, feed on him in your heart by faith, trusting in him as God's atoning sacrifice for you. And do this with thankfulness for this great work of grace on your behalf. Well, let's turn to pray. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I'll give you a short time of quiet for you to reflect and pray on your own first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your precious Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for this precious gift of grace and kindness. I put my faith in his blood shed for me on the cross. Please cleanse me from my sins and my rebellion against you. Cover me so that I won't face your righteous judgments. And we ask and pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our next song helps us to respond with praise to God for the atonement gift of his Son. Would you please stand to sing, "To God Be the Glory"?
Here we bow in awe before your searching eyes. For as we read in Romans, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. By your Holy Spirit, as we look again at your cross, give us a true and real understanding and conviction of the sacrifice of atonement by Jesus for our sins. Heavenly Father, we are perhaps more conscious than ever in recent months that we live in a fallen world with so many needs globally, nationally, and locally. We thank you for the opportunity now to lay before you some of the concerns we have, knowing that you hear and answer our prayers. God of justice, we pray for our world where we see so much inequality, for impoverished nations who already experience the full impact of climate change and have little resilience to protect themselves against drought, famine, and floods, for the shortage of vaccine distribution amongst the poorer nations. Father, give wisdom and altruism to world leaders, but help us too to consider ways in which we might be more outward looking. God of compassion, we pray for refugees fleeing from persecution and poverty in search of security and safety, and often taking desperate measures in their pursuits. Help us to encourage and support Christian organizations in particular, working in practical ways, asking that they will have sufficient resources and manpower required. And at this time, we particularly pray for Bridgestone Ministries, and as they and other Christian organizations support those in need, that your light may shine with the opportunity to share the message of the cross and salvation. Within our nation this week, we are witnessing concerns about the coming winter months with the threat of food and fuel shortages. Again, we realize that it's often the most vulnerable within our society who are seriously impacted. We pray for those empowered with decision-making in national and local government, that there will be wisdom and unity in their planning and policies. God of love, we bring before you our church family here at Fordham and 8 Ash Green. We thank you for Francis and the teaching he brings us, and we remember those who especially support him, Georgina and the family, the church wardens and PCC. We thank you for the opportunity he had to attend the Renew conference last week and pray that it will have been a time of encouragement for him. Keep us united in you as a church family. Save us from division. Help us to accept each other as in Christ we have all been accepted. At the beginning of a new chapter, as we gradually emerge from the pandemic, give us the energy and enthusiasm and motivation to look for opportunities to serve, however small the task might seem. We name before you precious memories, members of the family here who we know are in particular need. We think of Vic Sawyer, Barbara Jones in hospital, and Jeanette's father, Leslie, also in hospital. As we pray for them, Lord, we ask for healing and for peace and contentment, and we also pray for those who often struggle as they wait and watch, for the families and partners and husbands and wives. But also a moment of quiet to lift others known to us whose needs are personal or private. Accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go into a new week, may we be prepared to serve you with joy in newness of life. Amen.
We continue in an attitude of prayer as we come to the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we gather at the Lord's table, we must recall the promises and warnings given to us in the Scriptures. Let us therefore examine ourselves and repent of our sins. Let us give thanks to God for his redemption of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we remember Christ's death for us and receive this pledge of his love, Let us resolve to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. In a moment, we'll confess our sins together. The words are on page 3 of the notice sheet. But first, a moment of quiet for you to pray on your own. Let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we've left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite all who've been baptized and have a repentant heart, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their atoning sacrifice for their sins, to come and eat in remembrance of his precious death for your salvation. We welcome members of other churches who already participate in the Lord's Supper in their own congregation. We haven't returned to sharing the common cup yet. The stewards will invite you to come up pew by pew to the Lord's table. If you have any concerns for your own health, please feel no pressure to come up today. And if there are any people who have difficulty walking, would have any difficulty walking up here, then please let a steward know and I will come and give you communion in your seat. Hear the words of comfort our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We continue on page 3. Let us praise God together for his goodness. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it's our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in your tender mercy gave your only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, we humbly pray, and grant that we, receiving these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you.
Shall we now say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning speaks of the challenge for us as his followers to bring the good news of the gospel to our community, our friends, our neighbours, and all those who do not know Christ as their saviour. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love.
Thank you, Dennis. Do please sit down. We're coming to the end of this service and a few items of church family news. In a moment, tea and coffee will be served out in the churchyard just on that side. Next Sunday, we have two services, 10 a.m. here at Fordham and 11:30 Holy Communion at the 8 Ash Green Church. Paul Southern will be preaching the same sermon at both services, the message of the cross, the love of God. And this will be a good opportunity to invite a friend or someone who's been part of our church in the past. During the 10 a.m. service here, we'll have a short thanksgiving for Madeline White. Madeline's the daughter of Chris and Colette and the granddaughter of John and Maracy Bennion. So we hope that that will be a special occasion for them. Let's gather together to support them and to give thanks for Madeline's birth. As part of the Message of the Cross focus, we have 50 copies of a book called The Cross in Four Words. It's a short book, just under 100 pages, and I want to encourage you to read it over the next couple of months during this teaching series. Chapter 2 is entitled, How God Provides Propitiation for Sin, and it will help you to think further about today's topic. Chapter 1 will help you think further about last week's topic on redemption. So I hope that will be a good resource for you to deepen and take things further. There are questions at the end of each chapter which you may find helpful to consider. So copies are available here today at church on the table by the entrance and also from the church office during the week. They're free for you to take, either to read yourself or to give away to someone else. And if you'd like to cover the cost of your copy, there are details in the church notice sheet. Harvest Sunday is 2 weeks away. This is a time each year to give thanks to God for the basic things in life that he gives us, food and water, sunshine, warmth, those kind of basic necessities. We'll have an all-age service here in the church, and it'd be super to have a harvest lunch together afterwards. If you'd like to coordinate a meal or to be involved in organising one, please get in touch with the church office by the end of Wednesday this week. Babies and toddlers will be running this Tuesday. Growth groups are meeting during the week, and on Friday evening, the 41 youth group will be in the John Owen Barn at 7:30. Please do pray for these different ministries. We aim as a church to have groups for different people of different ages and at different stages of life. Let's be praying that they'll be fruitful. Will you also please pray for the Church of England's General Synod? Voting is underway for General Synod representatives. The General Synod makes decisions for the whole Church of England, and elections happen every 5 years. Now, these elections are always important, but particularly so this year. The pressure is on to introduce blessing services for same-sex partnerships. It's just happened in the Anglican Church in Wales, the church in Wales, just a couple of weeks ago. So the pressure is on for the same thing to happen in the Church of England. Blessing services like this will in practice look like marriage services, but church ministers cannot bless what God says is wrong without becoming false teachers. It's most likely that this will be proposed for the General Synod to vote on during this next 5-year period. So please, therefore, pray for the election of godly people with a clear grasp of the Bible in this matter. It is, of course, becoming a very countercultural view. So we need people who will be able to defend the church by resisting this change in a winsome way. And please pray for Mary Durlacher, who's going to stand again as a lay representative for the General Synod. Our next monthly prayer focus meeting is in 2 weeks' time on Thursday evening, the 7th of October. I see this as the main meeting of our church community outside of our Sunday gatherings. So please put the date in your diary and make it a priority to attend. The meeting will be online. Daphne Harvey died last year, age 95, and those who remember her are invited to a Thanksgiving service for her life, followed by the burial of her ashes in the Fordham churchyard. This will be on Tuesday this week, the 20th of September at 2:30 p.m. And after the burial, all who attend are invited to the John Owen Barn for refreshments. So I look forward to chatting with you and connecting with you during tea and coffee. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. It's at the center of our dating system, Jesus' life. And we thank you that there you made atonement so that we can be in relationship with you. We thank you so much for your love shown in the cross. and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you.